Good morning, MCC. Yeah, that's what I like to hear. How's everybody doing today? Good to be alive. Good to be here. Good to be worshiping God together in His house, isn't it? It's been a good morning. I've been excited to see so many of you here and online. We welcome our virtual church to the services today. We're just grateful you've all decided to join us here and worship with us and be a part as God has a message for all of us today. Now, someone once said that the church exists to comfort the disturbed and disturb the comfortable. Yeah, you laugh, but I also think that applies to God's Word, the Bible. I think the Bible exists to comfort the disturbed, the hurting, the lost, and disturb the comfortable, the healed, and the saved. So as we go through this message today, some are going to feel comforted. Others are going to feel disturbed, a little bit uneasy. God's putting something on their heart maybe they're not ready for. Whichever the case, go with it. God is speaking to you today. And I want you to feel Him today. I want you to feel His presence, and know He has a plan for you. Let's go to Him in prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, as we prepare to hear from Your Word, I just ask that You speak through me, that my words be Your words, that our hearts and minds be open to You today for whatever message You have, for whatever it is we need to take away from this today, Lord, so that we can be followers of Christ, so we can be tools in Your kingdom. It's in Your Son's name we pray. Amen. What if? That was the two words from that video, and it's a great video. But have you ever really thought about those two words? What if? Two words that when used, they can speculate about the future or the past. Two words that are used to make a proposal or maybe speculate on what might have happened if, or even speculate about something that could have happened if only. Two little words that have so much meaning. I don't know about you, but whenever I think about the past or a prior situation or something in the future God seems to be pushing me towards, and the words "what if" sneak into my mind, they get introduced in there, I sometimes become a little unnerved, or I begin to feel a little unsettled, scared, or even worse, I start to lose my confidence, or my confidence in what God wants me to do. It can be, even become shattered if I let too many of those "what if" questions sneak in. I don't know how many of you have ever asked the question, "what if," or how many of you ever just thought to yourself, "what if?" But specifically, the words "what if," when you think about the opportunities God has given you or has for you ahead, you know, things like, "what if I had done this, Lord?" Or you say to yourself, "what if this happens, God?" Other questions may be more specific, like, "what if I don't have all the answers for my atheist friend, my coworker, who's going to ask me questions about You at work today, Lord? Or what if my neighbors don't accept my invite to church? Maybe it's better if I just keep to myself about that. Or what if some of my longtime friends on Facebook find out how much I love You, God, and don't want to follow me anymore on Facebook, or don't want to have anything to do with me anymore? Maybe I should just keep it to myself, Lord." I'm here to tell you today that God wants us to stop asking those types of "what if" questions. God wants us, His people, His church, to live a life by faith, not by second thoughts. God wants us to have a faith over fear mentality. He wants our faith up here, encompassing, overlooking, keeping our fear down here. God wants us to have a faith that is active, a faith that is working, faith that pulls us out of our comfy chairs, A faith that stretches us farther than we ever thought we could have been stretched. Now, I like my comfy chair. I've got a big Lazy Boy recliner. I love it. When high schoolers come over for youth group from time to time, they've fought over it over the years because they love my big chair. I mean, back in the day with Drew Feaster and Nick and Jared Nidal and those guys, Drew and Nick used to fight over who got the chair. In fact, Drew wouldn't even get up to get his pizza or anything because he wasn't going to get out of the chair. I love my comfy chair. I do my devotions in my comfy chair most of the time. I listen to music and pray in my comfy chair. I get relaxed in the evenings in my comfy chair, make my son get up and take the dog outside or feed the dog, or say, honey, you're up. Can you give me a drink of water? So I love my Lazy Boy recliner. The problem is I get too comfortable in it sometimes, and I just don't want to leave it. And that's what God is saying. We've got to get beyond our comfort zones, our comfy chairs. Let Him stretch us today. And we're closing out the stretch series today with learning to stretch our faith. Now, I want to know, just a show of hands, how many have ever had deep thoughts about rubber bands? Well, that's good. I'm glad to see no deep thoughts about rubber bands. But rubber bands have a purpose. They don't have a lot of purposes, but they have a purpose. And it's to be stretched so they can hold things together, like your newspaper or a group of pencils or some loose things that you have around. You want to hold things together. But you got to stretch it to do it. Because if you don't stretch a rubber band and you put it around something you want to hold, right, rubber band just falls out. Doesn't do what it's supposed to do. But if I stretch it, we hold our pencils together, right? It holds our newspapers together. It does what it's supposed to do because it got stretched. Christians are much like that rubber band. We were put on this earth to be doers of God's word. To do that, we've got to let Him stretch us. We've got to be stretched, allowed to be stretched outside of our comfort zones so that we can be effective, most effective for His community and His kingdom. One of the hardest things for Christians to do is, like me, get out of our comfort zones, get out of our comfortable chairs. But if we want to follow Jesus, if we want to do what He did, we must be willing to be stretched. Now, I've read the Bible a few times, and I have looked, trust me, and I have never seen in here where it says that as a Christian you're going to live a comfortable, cozy life where everything is going to be easy and smooth. Mike Tilford, you ever read that in here? No, it's not. If you have, please, after church, come show me that because I want to live by that. But it's not. It's really not in here. We weren't promised that. Our God, the great Creator, the great I Am, our Heavenly Father, is going to stretch us. And He wants us to have a stretched faith, a real faith. Now today, in just a second, we're going to open our Bibles, and you can go ahead if you would like, to James 2, James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. And there's a couple things I want to tell you before we get into the reading. One, if you're following along on the screens today, when you see a word, it's in red or two, I want you to read them with me. Say them with me. Yes, we are a full participation church, at least for today anyway. So I want you to read them with me. And then secondly, I want you to notice as we read these scriptures, the first six verses give us a clear picture of a faith that doesn't conquer fear. A faith that is not stretched. It's just a relaxed rubber band faith. A faith that is easy and comfortable. And according to what we're about to read in James 2, a faith that is dead. So, there are three things that are going to be talked about in these first six verses. The first one that is a key to having a stretched faith is we must go beyond to have a stretched faith, we must be go beyond this, and that is talk. We have to go beyond just talk. Look at verse 14. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims, good, man, I'm proud of good job, but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? There it is in the very first verse we read, talk. Claims to have faith, but has no deeds. Man, James right here jumps right into the point, asking what good is it simply claiming to have faith, to talk about your faith without any action? Or simply put, he says, what good does it to do to talk about the walk, but not walk the talk? It's okay, and it is expected that we talk about our faith in the sense that we talk about the gospel and what Jesus has done for us. Jesus reminds us of that in Luke chapter 12, verses 8 and 9. I tell you, whoever publicly acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man will also acknowledge him before the angels of God. But whoever disowns me before others will be disowned before the angels of God. We have to talk about our faith. Talk about our Savior. But having a stretched faith has to go beyond talk. And it has to go beyond sight. We're going to go back to James, and we're going to start in verse 15 now. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself that is not accompanied by action is what? Dead. If you go to Philippians chapter 2 and read that, there's a verse in there that tells us that we are to look for the interest of others. Look out for the interest of others. So we need to have eyes to see. We need to see what's going on in the world around us. Now, last night when I was sitting there thinking about the sermon I preached on Saturday, I realized I'd left an illustration out. So you can be thankful you're here today because you get to see it because I put it back in. It's a cartoon. We're going to show it right now. It's a peanut cartoon. And in it, Snoopy's up there, and he's looking cold and shivering. And they walk by, and I say, I say he does. Maybe we'd better go over and comfort him. And they say, be of good cheer, Snoopy. Yes, be of good cheer. But then they leave. You're cold, so be of good cheer. You're freezing, but don't worry, be happy. And they walk away. They had the eyes to see, but they didn't do anything about it. We must have faith that keeps our eyes open to the hungry, the hurting, the lost, to see the unborn, to watch for injustice in this world. But a stretched faith requires more than just us talking about our faith. It requires more than just seeing the issues. And it requires more than simply having belief. But it has to be more than just saying, I believe in God. We're going to go back to James 2 now and start at verse 18. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. Belief doesn't mean a person will take action. Just because you have a belief does not result in action. There is no direct connection between the level of faith and the amount of one's works. People can believe what they believe without it affecting them in any way, causing them to do any actions or works. There are Christians in this world, and you can check Barna's research on this, but there are Christians in this world who say they're Christians, and they may go to church. Or they may go to church a couple times a year. Maybe they tithe or give here and there. They say a prayer at dinner. But that's it. There's no action, no work, no deeds. They're not doing anything with their belief. And on the other side of things, there are people who have works and actions in their lives. but that doesn't reveal anything about what they believe. They give to charitable organizations. They do things for other people just because they think they should, or it's the right thing to do. We, as Christ followers, have to go beyond belief. To have a stretched faith, we must go beyond just knowing about God and move to trusting in God. Talk, sight, belief. All good things, all good parts of faith. But these three alone don't give us the stretched faith God is asking us for. But there is one thing added to all these that will stretch our faith. We go back to verse 20 in James 2. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and then sent them off in a different direction? As the body without spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is what again? Dead. Wow. We must be a people of action, of works. We must have a faith that is active, that is alive. In other words, a stretched faith. Now, I want to clarify something real quick. James is not contradicting Paul's teaching in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, where Paul writes, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Folks, right up front, we are saved by God's grace and by faith. Works do not save us. They do not save us. And James, despite how you may have read what we just read, would not disagree with Paul. But he would then remind you to look at the next verse, the next sentence Paul wrote. Verse 10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Think of our good works this way. If you have an apple tree in the front yard and it bears oranges, what would you think? You'd probably be quite astonished, shocked. You'd be on the news probably. You might even think you were seeing things. Get your spouse out there. Hey, pull that fruit off. What is that? If the banana tree in your neighbor's yard was bearing apples, again, you'd be absolutely amazed. It isn't right or natural. But likewise, a Christian bears fruit, and the fruit is good works. But if a Christian isn't bearing good works, that isn't natural or right either. God has good works which he planned for you long ago, and he wants you to do them. Is that not exciting news? He had it planned out before you were even born. Ooh, let's see. Ooh, look at this. Mindy May, I got works for her to do. Woo! Didn't even know it. That's how God works. That's how he works. And we just have to have faith in him, a stretched faith in him, to accomplish the good works. To have a faith which is alive and not dead, a faith that is stretched, there must be action. Now here's the astonishing news today. the headline. It is, in fact, likely that God wants to stretch your faith today in some way. Consider some of the following ways in which God may want to stretch you. God may want you to do something, or he may want you to stop doing something. God may want you to give something, or God may want you to say something, or he may want you to stop saying something. He may want you to sell something or buy something, presumably for a person in need or a ministry in need. He may want you to start something. Ooh, that's a little scary. He may want you to end something. And he may, and I can guarantee you he does, want you to love someone. The chances are great that God wants to stretch all of us today. If we have faith in God, we will have a faith that results in action. We will have a faith that stretches and pulls us out of our comfort zones. Now today, I'm reminded of a real life story. And this story is about Larry Walters, who led a pretty normal, some would say boring life as a truck driver in Southern California until the fateful day of July 2nd, 1982. On that day, Larry turned himself into a legend. You see, ever since he was a boy, Larry dreamed of flying. He wanted to fly. But the U.S. Air Force had turned him down from the beginning, from becoming a pilot because he had bad eyesight. And after he was discharged from the military, he sat in his backyard watching the planes fly overhead. And it was torture to him. He needed to fly. He wanted to fly. So one day he could stand it no longer. Oh, he hatched a scheme while sitting outside in a Sears lawn chair. He went out and purchased 45 weather balloons from an Army Navy surplus store. Tied them to his lawn chair. Oh, you see where this is going, don't you? And he dubbed this creation Inspiration One. He then filled the balloons with helium, strapped himself into his lawn chair. Now, this is important to note. With some sandwiches and a six-pack of Miller Lite. Oh, yes. And a pellet gun. He figured he would pop a few of the balloons when it was time to come down. So Larry's plan was to sever the anchor and lazily float up to about 30, 40 feet in the air, just kind of hang above his backyard and enjoy a few hours of flight with his sandwiches and his Miller Lite before coming back down. But unfortunately, Larry knew a lot more about truck driving than physics. And so things didn't work out quite as Larry planned when his friends, who these really aren't good friends for letting him try this, but his friends cut the cord anchoring the lawn chair to his Jeep, and he didn't lazily float up 30, 40 feet. No, instead he streaked into the L.A. sky as if he was shot out of a cannon, pulled by the lift of what ended up being only 42 helium balloons holding 33 cubic feet of helium each. Now the chemistry teacher's laughing up here. He didn't level off at 100 feet, not at 1,000 feet. He kept climbing and climbing and leveled off at 16,000 feet. As a man who doesn't even like walking up to the top of a roller coaster, right now I feel this in my bones, I would be panicked at this point. And at the height, he felt he couldn't risk shooting any of the balloons for fear he'd become unbalanced, the load, and really find himself in serious trouble. Not that 40 feet would have been serious trouble, but 16,000, that's serious trouble. So he just stayed there drifting, cold and frightened, holding on to his beer and sandwiches, 3 miles above the ground for 14 hours. He crossed the primary approach corridor of LAX. Now I want you to imagine the surprise of the air traffic controller when she was informed by Transworld and Delta Airlines pilots both that they had passed a man floating in his lawn chair. Well, eventually Larry said, what the heck, gathered the nerve and shot a few balloons. And he did slowly descend. Unfortunately, below him, the hanging tethers now tangled and caught in a power line. Yeah, blacking out a Long Beach neighborhood for 20 minutes. But Larry finally got to the ground, and he was arrested by waiting members of the LAPD. As he was led off in handcuffs, a reporter dispatched to cover the daring feat asked him, Why did you do this? Larry replied nonchalantly, "A man can't just sit around." Brothers and sisters, we can't just go through life only believing in God. We can't go through life only talking about believing in God, that we know God and we love God. And we can't go through life only looking at the poverty, only seeing the despair, the hurt, the anger, the injustice in this world. We can't just sit back and do nothing. We must act. We must allow God to stretch us. We can no longer just sit around. We have to do something. We have to stretch our faith. I want to remind all of us, though, and this is the even cooler part about stretching our faith, that when we as individuals stretch our faith, it also stretches the faith of our church, the full body of believers. How cool is that? The vision statement for MCC is this: attending to the needs of one another, doing good to everyone, and proving by the way we live that God is in control. Amen, right? That's what God's asking us to do. That's our vision statement. That's what we find in the Bible. Attending to the needs of one another. Can we do that if we just see and believe that there's a God out there? No, we got to do something about it to attend to those needs. Are we proving by the way we live, if all we're doing is sitting in our comfortable chairs talking, that we believe in Jesus? Or just, yeah, there's some issues there. Someone needs to take care of that. No. To do this vision statement, to live by this vision statement, church, we have to live stretched faiths. It has been said, vision without action is merely a dream. And action without vision, well, that just passes the time. You're not going anywhere. But vision together with action, that can change the world. God's vision and our faith in action will change the world. We've got to, all right, I'm going to say it. We've got to stop wasting our time on social media getting angry about things. We've got to stop wasting our times thinking someone else is going to do the good work that God has put in front of us. We've got to stretch our faith. We got to go do something about it. We got to change the world. Not for political reasons, but for the greatest reason in the world. Him. It's time, church. If our faith has action, it will keep the vision. The vision that was up there. The vision of MCC out of the dream stage and continue making it a reality for the community around us. The takeaway for the sermon is simple. To stretch our faith, we must and we will move from what if to even if. Now, Abraham, back in the scriptures we just read in chapter 2, Abraham was one example that James mentioned of a person not letting fear overtake his faith. He wouldn't allow the what ifs that may have snuck into his mind stop him from living and having a stretched faith. Now, Abraham was a father. How many fathers I have out here today? Now, as a father, we can relate to Abraham as he's walking with Isaac up to sacrifice Isaac because God told him to. I'm going to tell you, as a father, a what if statement or two would have snuck into my head as we're walking, as we're heading to the place where I'm going to sacrifice my son. If nothing else, the what if question is, what if God doesn't stop me and I have to go through with it? Right there, I'd have been like, son, we're turning around. That what if would have scared me to death. But it didn't stop Abraham. Instead, he held firm and he remembered God's promises. And he remembered that even if I don't understand this, God. I don't understand what you've asked me to do. I know you have a plan, and I will trust you. That's stretched faith. We need to stop asking the what-if questions. You know, back to the rubber band. If you have a stretched faith, and you start asking what-if questions, the rubber band starts to relax because you start going, maybe I better not do this. Maybe I shouldn't say that. Pretty soon, the rubber band's all relaxed. It's not doing what it's supposed to be doing. Your faith's not doing what it's supposed to be doing. But in that relaxed state, you start at saying, even if, it starts stretching. It starts stretching. Here's some examples. Go from asking, what if I go talk to my coworker about God? Will he or she be mad? Will he or she no longer talk to me? Instead, move into, even if he or she rejects me or the gospel, I'm going to follow Christ. And at the very least, I've planted a seed. Because you've done it. You've stretched your faith. Go from thinking, what if I take a stand for Jesus and my worldly reputation is ruined or I'm made fun of? Move to even if people make fun of me or my worldly reputation is ruined. I did what is right. I took a stand for him. I wasn't ashamed. Go from wondering, what if I take a stand for the unborn, the marginalized, the hurt by social injustice? What kind of effect will that have on me or my family? What kind of effect will that have on my job? What will people think of me? Instead, move to knowing, even if I get ostracized by my stance for Christ, I am secure in my hope for the future. I'm secure in knowing I don't walk this path alone, that God walks with me and is in control. Stretched faith. Stretched faith. Brothers and sisters, we have every reason to stand up for God, to stretch our faith. We have the greatest reason in the world. Our hope is not what happens here on earth. Our hope is in our eternal salvation that God has promised us, that we said we believe in. Oh, it's better than anything. Yes, it's even better than my lazy boy chair. If you hold on to that, remember that when God's asking you to step out. Don't think of stretching your faith as getting ready to walk off a cliff, because that's not stretched faith. Stretched faith is more like walking in the dark. You know the floor is there. You just don't know what's ahead of you. You don't have to be scared to take the first step, because God is with you. God won't let you do this alone. If God has a plan for you, he's going to walk you through it. He's going to get you through it. He has a reason for you doing it. Stretch your faith today, and let's see what happens. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. More importantly, we thank you for your Son. Your Son who died on the cross for each and every one of us, who sacrificed for us. We thank you for your word and the promises in James, that if we stretch our faith, you will do it with us. If we stretch our faith, we will be seen as righteous. If we stretch our faith, you will call us friend. If we stretch our faith, we will reach others for you. Lord, let us remember those words today. Let us put it on our heart. This week as we go forward, let us keep it on our heart and take it to the world and stretch our faith to build your kingdom. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.